In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yes, it's all true. It is Monday, time to talk movies and other stuff as Alan Adams joins us in studio. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Congratulations on your impressive showing in the preliminary voting for the Downtown Hall of Fame. You are off to the final ballot.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to be a very prestigious class, and despite what some out there in the Twitterverse might be saying, I did it the right way.
Yeah, Chad Finn dropping PED bombs out there on people. No,
and as I told him, I have never failed a league mandated test.
That's right. You and David Ortiz are just fine there. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's very exciting, and I alluded to it on social media, but I'll happily reiterate it here. Like, I could sit here and pretend like I don't care about this. I care very deeply. Like, I want this badly. Yeah. So when the next round of voting comes around, and you can put a little check next to my name out there, I hope folks out there will do that very thing.
Well, you got a few weeks to relax while we get through the other brackets.
Indeed.
And another cool thing coming on we want to mention before we talk movies. Where did the time go? The focus group getting ready to celebrate an anniversary. First of all, It's been, 4 years since we were able to have an anniversary show? Is that right?
I believe our last anniversary show was April of 2019. So
wow. And so this will be the 14th anniversary.
Yep. Woo. 14 years.
Man, oh man. So it's coming up. Big show on Friday night at Bangor Arts Exchange. And you were just telling me that we have a massive turnout with some focus group alums coming back.
Well, it's so funny because, like, as a generally what we like to do with these anniversary shows is reach out to focus group emeriti and the folks who have moved on for whatever reason. And so, you just start you throw out invitations because it's like, oh yeah, you want to include everybody. And then everybody just started saying yes, which, obviously is one of the central tenets of improv. But at the same time, like, folks are, these are folks, they're going to have to travel, yeah, and all this stuff. But like I was telling you, like our Southern Maine contingent, like we have a handful of former members down there. They're all coming. Sam Kirkendall, Randy Hunt, Dustin Slate are all going to join us. Dennis Price has said that he is fairly certain he'll be able to join us. Same for Amy Rader, Jen Shepard, Lawrence Fingerhut, and then of course we'll be operating at full strength. And so that there's like 9 people in the group now. So it's like, I don't know where everyone's going to sit. But as far as that goes, there are worse problems to have.
Right. As long as we don't outnumber the crowd.
I don't think that's good. I don't think we need to worry about that too much. I think we'll do okay as far as the crowd is concerned. The doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8. Expect it to be maybe run a little bit longer than our typical show.
Yeah.
Simply because there are 1,000 people on stage.
Right.
And you want to make sure everyone gets their shot. It's just, I don't know, it's just going to be fun to get out there. It's going to be big and shaggy and chaotic and just an absolute circus in the best possible way. And I can't wait.
And there's no way you don't get at least $10 worth of laughter out of this.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean,
it's, with all these people, come on.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, you're paying like 75 cents a performer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I mean, that's you can't beat the price.
Nope.
The folks over there at Bay, Josh makes a mean cocktail. They got some nice beers on tap. So come join us, have a couple drinks, have a few laughs, see a reunion 14 years in the making.
Wow. Can't wait. Friday night, Bangor Arts Exchange. All right, let's talk movies. What did you see?
You know, I just got the one. I just got the one this week. It's not the one that that literally everyone else in America seems to have seen.
Oh, okay.
Well, there were two big box office releases this week, and while I will admit, as someone who came of age in the Nintendo era, I will admit to a certain degree of curiosity with regard to the Super Mario Brothers movie, as it turns out, they certainly didn't need my money because Yeah, it's the biggest opening of 2023 thus far. Second biggest video game movie opening ever. Something like $150 million domestically, and about that overseas as well. Like, just a massive, massive commercial success. The critical response has been lukewarm, and audiences have been basically like, the general consensus seems to be a shoulder shrug followed by, it's fine. But that's okay, you know, because it's ultimately you want a movie like this to really have that sort of broad appeal. And the one thing I have heard is that kids are really digging it. And so, like, that's the sort of movie it's supposed to be.
Right.
So good on them. Well done, Nintendo, Super Mario Brothers. I'm sure there will be, I'm sure the sequel is already being fast-tracked because of this massive success. And I wish them all the best. So kudos to them. But that's not the movie that I saw this weekend. I went and saw the star-studded drama about sneakers.
Oh, fantastic!
I went to see Air.
Nice.
The film that is the story of the Air Jordan. The making of Sonny Vaccaro and Phil Knight and their big gamble on an untested rookie creating the most iconic basketball shoe of all time.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and this is a very nice way to sort of sum it up. We were about 2/3 of the way through the movie, maybe 3/4. Sheridan, my wife, turns to me, and sort of says, you know, I can't believe I'm watching this movie, but I'm really enjoying it. Because I mean, like on its face, it's like, really, we're going to watch this prestige drama about the making of a shoe. Like, that's what we're going to do. A movie about the Air Jordan where Michael Jordan, you never see his face. A deliberate choice,
right,
by the way,
right.
And a smart one. But we'll get to that. It's an Amazon Studios production, although it is not a streaming option. Mm. It is a theater theatrical release only at this point. Directed by Ben Affleck, but the boys got back together. It's Ben.
Yeah.
It's Ben and Matt doing movie stuff. Ben's the director. Matt's the star. Ben does a fine job in a supporting role, but you've got this incredible cast of performers just throughout. Jason Bateman, Chris Messina, on and on and on. Just this wonderful, fantastic collection. Just by the way, Viola Davis is in this movie.
Oh, okay.
You know, just a little something. It's basically set in 1984, the immediate aftermath of the NBA draft, wherein Hakeem Olajuwon went first, Sam Bowie infamously went second, and Michael Jordan went third. And we are at the headquarters of Nike in Beaverton, Oregon. It's hard to conceptualize, especially for you young folks out there. But there was a time when nobody gave a crap about Nike's basketball shoes.
That's right.
At that time, and they break it down for you, which is really fun. Over half of the market share for basketball shoes, like 51%, Converse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere in the mid 30s, you had Adidas, which was also on the rise because it was sort of the hip shoe. The hip hop folks and the breakdancers and everybody were sporting them. Run DMC's My Adidas was on the verge of hitting the airwaves. In a very distant third, with a percentage, a market share in the teens, was Nike. So lagging so far behind, in fact, that there was talk of completely axing that division. Like, they, Nike had been struggling. Like, they were very much a running shoe company. That's where Phil Knight made his bones, from the time where he was selling, waffle iron treaded homemade sneakers out of the trunk of his car. He had turned it into a billion-dollar company, but they had gone public, and so he is now beholden to a board of directors, and so he has to run it more like a traditional business. But the star of the show is Sonny Vaccaro, and that's Matt Damon. Sonny Vaccaro is a name that basketball fans are probably familiar with. Like, he's been an iconic figure in the realm of, well, and he's worked, you know, done the sneaker stuff, but he was also a huge sort of pioneer in the realm of the high school basketball all-star game. Thank you, or, you know, thanks, blame, whatever you want to toss around. Right. Like, the current, basically, AAU culture, I think, can be traced back to his early work. But at the time, he's working for Nike in the basketball division, and they're trying to figure out what to do. How do we, like, they're basically trying to break through. They don't know exactly what to do, and so they're kind of planning on doing what they've always done, which is take their budget, split it among three or four players that they can conceivably get, so they basically plan to ignore the folks on top, and aim, like, for guys in the, you know, in the middle of the first round. And it's funny to see some of the names that they're discussing from that 1984 draft, because there are some very iconic ones. They mentioned Charles Barkley at one point. John Stockton's name gets bandied around a little bit. There's a running joke where Sonny Vaccaro refuses to acknowledge that Gonzaga is a real place, which is pretty funny. So the plan is, but it's the same old, same old, and it hasn't worked before. There's no reason to think why it will, that it will again. And so Sonny Vaccaro comes up with this idea, and he's like, I'm going to... I want us to put all our eggs in one basket. So he wants to take the entire budget, all of the money they have budgeted for shoe contracts, and he wants to give it. He wants to pitch it to Michael Jordan. And this is a massive risk, because if they do this and it falls through, like, everyone else is going to already be signed, and so that it could very well spell the end of Nike's basketball division. You know, which means that a lot of people would lose their jobs. Mm. And so we get to see Sonny try to figure out what he's going to do, what his plan of attack is going to be. And, you know, he reaches out. Jason Bateman, who plays sort of an amalgam character, like he's a couple of different folks sort of pushed together. But he is, the VP of basketball operations or advertising, and so, you know, he pitches him, and he's like, well, obviously there's a lot of risk, and he goes and pitches Phil Knight, who, by the way, Ben Affleck plays Phil Knight, and he is clearly having a wonderful time. A lot of bare feet on the desk, a lot of weird hippie aphorisms, just spectacular tracksuits, just phenomenal across the board. Pitches him, reaches out to Jordan's agent. That's Chris Messina, playing David Falk. Tell you what, parents of young kids and frankly even teenagers, do not show your kids this movie, simply because of the foul language in the exchanges between Vaccaro and Falk. Because they really get creative with the curse words throughout. Messina as Falk actually has a wonderful extended monologue about what he's going to do to Sonny Vaccaro. Well, let's just say he goes below the belt.
Oh, of course.
And Vaccaro's hitting all these dead ends, can't get a meeting. And finally, he's just like, you know what? To hell with it. He gets on a plane. He flies to Wilmington, North Carolina. And he goes to the Jordan's house, and that's where he meets James and Dolores Jordan. Dolores Jordan, played by Viola Davis, which, as an aside, when Affleck reached out to Jordan about doing this movie, because, you know, it's not, you know, Jordan's not connected with it. He's not making any money. Like, he's not a producer, nothing like that. But, like, you know, it, when someone that prominent is involved, obviously you want to try to get their blessing. Jordan was actually apparently very cool with it. He just had, his one big caveat was, Viola Davis has to play my mom.
That's not a bad choice.
Right. And it's like, meanwhile, Affleck is like, if we can get Viola Davis, of course. and so that worked out very nicely. So Vaccaro meets the parents. The parents listen to his pitch. They're a little skeptical, but at the same time, he's very upfront and forthcoming. And he makes some eerily accurate predictions about how some of the other shoe company pitches are going to go. So much so that he buys enough goodwill to potentially get the Jordans to come to Oregon and have a meeting with Nike. I'd say spoiler alert, but I think we all know how it ultimately plays out. Mm. But yeah, it's about the journey to get there, both in terms of signing Jordan, and then we get this wonderful sort of extended aside where we see like the design of the shoe coming together and how that sort of played into it, and all these the various workplace dynamics, all fueled by the passion that comes from, you know, that connection to sport. And it was really, man, it was one of those things where it's like, I love a sports movie anyway, even if it's sports adjacent. So I was always going to have a good time with this movie, but man, I gotta tell you, I was not fully prepared for how good this movie was gonna be. And I mean, obviously, with, you know, the people involved, like, it makes sense that it's gonna be good.
Sure.
But for them to take this seemingly innocuous thing and turn it into this really compelling story, especially when you take into account the fact that we all kind of know how it ends, you know, so to make that story interesting and engaging, to make us, you know, care about the stakes, even though we know what the sort of end game is, it was really very impressive. I mean, look, Affleck, I think, is a very talented director. He's shown that on a number of occasions, and it's really interesting that this is a project that he chose to take on. I wonder if he has, if there's some sort of deal in place through Amazon, because I know his last directorial outing, I believe did he direct The Tender Bar? I can't remember.
I think he did.
I feel like he did, and that was an Amazon movie as well. But regardless, he's got a real wonderful eye as a director. And, you know, when you're as famous as he is.
Oh, like, no, George Clooney directed
it. Oh, that's right. You're right. Regardless, Affleck's shown some real talent as a director. That shines through here. Watching Affleck and Damon, like, engage on screen, it's just like, you know, it's really this wonderful reflection, because they've both been on a journey over these past, you know, God, 30 years? How long ago did Good Will Hunting come out? It was a long time ago. You know, they're both older. They're both, you know, they both are embracing aging in a way that I don't think even a generation ago Hollywood actors really did. You know, Damon gained some weight, although he did do a little around the waist prosthetic stuff to sort of, you know, plump up as Sonny Vaccaro. But yeah, and then, you know, the two of them together, Vaccaro, like, Damon's great as Vaccaro, and then you have Messina, who I mentioned, who's phenomenal as David Falk. I love Jason Bateman. Like, he's so just good. It's just, he just doesn't miss, and he's great here. Chris Tucker is in this movie. He's wonderful. Marlon Wayans pops in for a couple of scenes. Like, he's great. And of course, Viola Davis as Dolores Jordan. It's interesting because, you know, anything that you read about Michael Jordan, when it delves into his personal life, like, it's, his mother was a monumental figure in his life. To see that sort of, that mother's belief in her son's abilities, like, sort of brought to the screen by someone like Viola Davis, just phenomenal. And so you bring all this stuff together, and what you get is, I don't know, the movie's probably a little shy of 2 hours, but just, like, incredibly compelling stuff, even when it's, like, you know, sitting in an office or driving in a car, but it just speaks to the fact that there is still room for this kind of movie, this sort of, I don't even want to call it a prestige drama. Like, it's like prestige adjacent, I guess, just because of the level of talent that's involved. But it's just a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, it's not setting up a sequel. You know, it's not based on you know, a young adult novel or a comic book or a video game. Like, it's just a real life story about real people really hits on all cylinders. I can't stress enough how glad I was that I got a chance to see this movie, because, you know, we're coming into the summer season, and you know me, Rich, I love a blockbuster.
Yeah.
Like, I love franchise fare, IP, up the wazoo, give it to me. But I want to believe that there are still people out there who want this kind of movie, because I love that stuff, but I love this stuff too. And the truth is, like, if you eat at McDonald's every day, eventually it's going to catch up with
mm-hmm.
you. You know, and sometimes you just want a good, hearty, well-made meal. And that's what this movie is.
Nice. Well, it sounds tasty to me.
Indeed.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
We'll see you Friday night.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. Chaos reigns.
All right. Focus group. Bangor Arts Exchange. Friday night at 8:00.